Welcome back to Sports Day. We're here for Gemmell Homes. Gemmell Homes stand behind Sports Day WA, and Craig stands behind every home he builds. So if you're in the market for a new home, make sure that you do consider Gemmell Homes and get a quote from them. Steve Rosich joins us. He is the Fremantle Dockers CEO here on Sports Day. Welcome, Steve. Nice to talk to you.
Good evening, gentlemen, and hello to your listeners.
Now, mate, much better way to finish your season. Really disappointing, the match against Geelong the previous week, and your club was dragged through the mud. But I was glad that the boys produced what they did against Collingwood on the weekend.
Look, it was a strong way to finish the season, and they certainly planned to improve on the week before. But not only that, ideally win the football game, and I think with a few opportunities missed, that could have been the case. So we took a team that was finished in the top four to the end at home, and again, promising signs, but in some ways they were disappointed because they were trying to win the footy game.
8 wins for the season, Steve. How did you see the season as the CEO and also the board? Were they happy with the outcome with 8 wins, given that's what you got last year?
Well, there's lots of different measures you can take. Really, our focus has been on trying to grow not only as a football club, but a football team. And a big focus of that, as everyone has seen, has been the younger players and the exposure to football. I think that's been very much a plus with the record number of debutants with 8 and the number of games they played, which is more than double the next, the average for debutants across the league. And I think we've unearthed some players there that are going to be good players for us for a long time, and they'll be better for that experience, and indeed better next year. And that was certainly a positive. And the challenge, and you know, at times our form at home was really strong, and that was also a positive. But unfortunately, it wasn't at the level that we want it to be in terms of consistency. So that's the focus. How can we keep growing, improving? So that is improved, and we're more consistent, not only at home, as we have been, but also away from Optus Stadium.
Steve, now that Brad Lloyd's departed your club and headed on to what he would hope is greener pastures, who has taken over your list management?
Yeah, so Brad was poached from us to Carlton in the head of football role, and he was terrific for us for a long time. And I think we worked really well together and played a big part in growing, developing Brad, and we wish him well, but he has moved on to competitor now, so that provides us with an opportunity. So we're advancing our planning in that regard, and hopefully can make some announcements around that shortly.
Just having a look back, and look, we do this all the time around list management and where clubs are at, and your club with your top 20 picks, you haven't had a lot of success. You've got some players like Nathan Fyfe, who's a genuine star. You've got Tommy Sheridan and Adam Chera, who are inside the top 20 that are playing and did play in that last game. But outside of that, mate, you haven't had a lot of success. Some players have left your club, others never made it. Some have walked away from the game. You've had some bad injuries to Morabito, and I think Jaden Pitt might have been another one who had those heart issues. You haven't had a lot of luck in that top 20 area in more recent times, have you?
Well, our focus at the end of 16 was obviously pruning the list back and trying to add talent through the top end of the draft. We had a focus on having, you know, 4 picks in the top 10 in the next 3 drafts. So that's translated to Griffin Logue, Andy Brayshaw, Adam Chera, and then the next one of those is in this draft. And at the moment, we're pick 5. That, who knows, might end up becoming pick 6. So we'll fulfil that plan of getting 4 top-end players in, and that's really important for us because, you know, they're young quality players are what drive future performance, and we're trying to do what we can to add around that, and we'll continue to do that again this trade period coming. So it has been a focus, Carl.
Ross spoke about the player that he would like to get into the club. He mentioned he wanted players with speed and skill and could play in different positions. What would you like to see, Steve? It's been a long time since you've taken a key forward with the number one pick, and probably that's been the area that's been critiqued the most with the Dockers, is their forward line in recent times. Are you subscribing to the same theory as Ross?
When they're talking speed and skill, Hayes, I thought they were talking about you, but that number, you know, your talents and the number 4 running around with us for so many years. Look, we'll take the best available player, and as I said at the moment, that is, we've got pick 5 in the draft, which if there was one benefit, and it was hard to find too many, but one benefit from the loss down at Geelong, it took us from pick 6 to pick 5, which was handy. that may end up becoming pick six, depending on what happens with players moving from other clubs and compensation picks, etc. And I'm pleased that David Walls, who heads our recruiting department and has done for some time, is very positive about what we'll be able to bring to the club with our first pick in the draft. So that will be the best player available at picks five or six, whatever it happens to be. And at this stage in time, we're very excited by it.
What about Mitch McGovern? We heard yesterday that he announced his intentions to leave the Adelaide Crows. I know there was interest last year for Mitch McGovern. Is it still there from your point of view?
I'm talking to a lot of player managers at the moment in this interim period whilst we look at replacing our list manager. So it's been quite fruitful and interesting having those conversations direct. And I have spoken to Mitch's manager. We'll see what unfolds. But at this stage, it looks like if he's not at Adelaide, it might be at a Melbourne-based team. So we'll wait and see what unfolds there.
Adam Chera, I've heard that maybe, and, you know, a little bit like the Brad Hill scenario, that he wanted to be traded. Well, Brad Hill came and knocked that on the head. Adam Chera, is he asked to be traded or not?
I think Adam came out not so many weeks ago and talked about the fact that he's very much liking living in Perth and the opportunity to play at Fremantle. He's been terrific this year, as our other debutants have, in playing so much football, and looking forward to sitting down with his manager, Rob D'Orazio, at the right time and looking at the opportunity to extend Adam beyond next year.
He's the only top 10 draft pick from last year that hasn't re-signed. That's not of a concern to you at this point?
No, it's not.
What about the support around Ross Lyon? We see a lot of coaches trying to bulk up their coaching departments this time of year. Is there any plans to bring in some new assistant coaches?
We've made a few changes to our coaching team in the recent season. So we're very much in the phase at the moment of stabilising that group and solidifying that group. We've had Tom Morris come in as our high performance manager coaching around about 18 months ago, and Tom's been terrific in continuing to develop and grow that group and supporting Ross. So we're very much, for next season, stabilised in that department.
Speaking of next season, Steve, what can you tell me about mid-season trading and drafting, which has been talked about for much of this year, and also a couple of other things that have been trialled in the VFL, the 6-6-6, which they are looking at doing for centre square bounces, and also the bigger goal square. What have you been told as the CEO of your club?
I think I heard you talking about this on the radio on the way to the footy on the weekend, Carl, and most of it you seem to be on the money. The AFL's still working through both. Well, firstly, let's deal with the real changes, potential rule changes first, and they've communicated to us it'll go to the AFL Commission in September and clubs will be notified in October. I think the more likely outcomes are the 18-metre goal square to assist with, you know, clearing the ball from behind out of defence, and that's something that we think as a football club won't have a major impact but probably helps us with the likes of Luke Ryan and Nathan Wilson that we have using the ball in our back half. And with respect to the 6-6-6, I don't think that's going to end up a massive change because it's likely that it'll only apply to centre bounces. And as the season unfolded, I think you saw most teams employing almost that type of strategy anyway. But it certainly will help in the clearance work in the centre, which has been a strength in any case for us. And won't have a massive effect on the look and feel of the game, but might help in some elements. I think you saw as the season unfolded, not much commentary around the state of the game. So I think that will probably temper the AFL's view and with respect to that. On your comment on mid-season draft and trade, it was discussed at the recent AFL CEO's conference from a personal point of view. I'm not sure our game's ready for mid-season trading. I think just culturally, in the AFL in Australia, that doesn't quite fit with us, seeing players playing for one team at the start of the season and another at the back end. I think there's a few unintended consequences. I personally don't mind the mid-season draft, and indeed had some discussions with Gil McLaughlin directly at that CEO conference about that, and I think it has the potential opportunity to help with equalisation in getting those mature waffle players to teams that are perhaps in the in the bottom 10 of the ladder and helping them push up the ladder a lot quicker. So I think that's something that has some interest from clubs and wouldn't surprise me to see that in either next season or the year after.
Steve, if a mid-season draft was to come in next year, how would you see it working? Would you each have the ability to recruit, say, 4 new players to your club? Is there a number on it? How would it work, do you think?
The reality is, not sure, and we'll leave that to the AFL to work through, but I assume it would be a situation where if you were to take a player in a mid-season draft, and that would obviously be someone that's not on an AFL list and someone that wouldn't be eligible as an underager at the national draft at the end of that year, you would have to delist someone at that time to get them on and manage your cap accordingly. So you're not likely to see too many players, I think, if that was to be the case, effectively go on lists, maybe one and maximum two per club, and indeed sub clubs might not choose to do it at all. So it wouldn't have, I think, a significant impact in terms of the number of players coming into the system afresh, but would provide those mature age players a great incentive to perform well at Waffles, ANFL, VFL level, etc., and with the potential to not have to wait to November and a full draft to get to an AFL list.
Steve, are you willing and ready to go after a big fish, a big forward, somebody like a Rory Lobb or a Jesse Hogan?
Look, there's always that appetite, and you work through it. There's lots and lots of conversations that take place, not just at this time of year in the lead-up to trade period, but throughout the year about possibilities. And we've proven to be a club that can attract players, and that'll be a continued focus, albeit the bread and butter is drafting well. And again, looking forward to our first pick in particular this year. But we won't die wondering in those conversations. And if the deals are right for all concerned, then hopefully it'll be the case.
Would you like your own Waffle team next year?
I've been on record saying that we've invested heavily in our Peel partnership. It's worked really well, both for Peel and for us, and we're comfortable with how that's working. So we don't foresee a change to that in the short term, and we'll just sit back and watch and with what happens with the breakdown in the West Coast East Perth partnership on what transpires with that and what are the implications for us and potentially Peel.
Steve, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Steve Rosich there. Now, jump on the iPrimus open line. What do you reckon? 922 11882. We covered a fair bit in that conversation. iPrimus, the most flexible internet you can get. Until